Blog Talk Radio.
It will our persistent prayer. But one of the things we always notice about the power of Jesus, he lives in all of us, and we're always told to get over one basic thought. You can use your other mind in every power of Jesus.
There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the word must come together as one. There are people dying. Oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. We can't go on pretending day by day.
We are the ones who make a better day. So let's start.
yet so many people have lost hope today. They feel that they have nothing to look forward to. So many young people have lost hope. They have become cynical. They see all of the problems of the world. So many young men feel that there's nothing to look forward to in life but going to the battlefield, giving one's life maybe in something very futile. They look around the world and they lose hope. So many people find themselves crying out with Shakespeare's Macbeth that life is a tale told by an idiot full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. So many find themselves crying out with the philosopher Schopenhauer that life is an endless pain with a painful end. So many find themselves crying out to Paul Lawrence Dunbar, crushed to grin and a corner to sleep in, a minute to smile and an hour to weep in, a pint of joy to a peck of trouble, and never to laugh as the moans come double, and that is life. In the midst of this hopelessness, men and women reach out for the bread of hope. Then that is the quest for the bread of love. Everybody needs this bread. We need it in two ways. First, we need to learn how to love. Great problem of mankind today is still that there's too much hatred around. More than anything else, we've got to learn to love.
Yeah.
In America, the white man must love the black man. The black man must love the white man. Because we are all tied together in a single garment of destiny. And we can't keep having riots every summer in our cities. We can't keep having all of these problems all over our nation. Our white brothers must understand that we are too poor. The federal government has enough money to get rid of slums and poverty and get rid of these conditions that make for riots. There's no point in continuing to make up excuses. Our white brothers are about to come to see one thing. We are in America and we are here to stay, and we've got to learn how to live together. We ain't going nowhere. That's the basic need in this country. There are 22 million Negroes that we have counted up. The census figures give us that. Now, they don't take under consideration the number of Negroes that ran when they saw the census man coming, thinking it was somebody to collect the bill. So when you add the numbers they didn't get, it's at least 30 million Negroes in America. And we are here to stay. Our white brothers have got to learn to live with it. Now in our anger and in our response to the oppression and the hatred that we face, we must not, you know, turn around and do the same thing. You see, you never solve one problem of tyranny by substituting a new tyranny. Doctrine of black supremacy is as evil as the doctrine of white supremacy. God is not interested merely in the freedom of black men and brown men and yellow men, but God is interested in the freedom of the whole human race. The creation of a society where all men will live together as brothers, and every man will respect the dignity and the worth of human personality. And the one way that every man will be able to do this is to remember that one word that Jesus talked about so often. That is the word love. So in the midnight hour, the life of our world and our nation, I see men and women by the south running toward the church of God, trying to get the bread of faith, the bread of hope, bread of love. Now go with me a little further, if you will. You remember when that man knocked on the door? The man on the inside said in substance, "Don't bother me. I'm busy. My children are in the bed and I'm engaged in something else. Don't worry me." So that man from within left the man on the outside disappointed at the hour of his greatest need. Oh, my friends of Mount Zion, I come to you this morning having to honestly admit that the church has often left men and women disappointed at the greatest hour of need, hour that they needed bread most.
This recording is briefly interrupted at this point.
I stood in Westminster Abbey not long ago in London, that great cathedral of the Church of England. I had a marvelous experience, on the one hand, an enrapturing experience. One cannot help but be moved by the beauty of the architecture with all of its Gothic outpourings. But on the other hand, I had a sad experience, because I had to remember that there was a day when they could honestly say that the sun never sets on the British Empire. They could say that because more than 785 million of God's children were dominated by the British Empire. The Church of England never took a significant stand against colonialism. And I stood there in Westminster Abbey over the tombs of kings and queens that had been buried there. Yeah. I said to myself, the church can die as a result of the judgment of God, as a result of refusing to stand up against evil. So often, the church has left men and women disappointed at midnight. There are men who stand up in the pulpit, preach every Sunday, speaking now of white preachers. Yet they can look at racial injustice and never open their mouths against it. We would have peace in this world today. We could have peace in this world today. Church would really take a stand against it. There are almost a billion Christians in the world. Never forget that. We got to go back to the fervor of the early church. Early Christians would not fight war. Stood up before Caesar's household.
Yes.
Said, "No, we will not fight war." Sometimes because they wouldn't obey the edicts of the Roman Empire, they were thrown into the lion's den. They were thrown on the chopping block. They went there with a hymn on their lips and praises to God, and they often went there smiling, and somebody would say, "What is it that makes you so happy? Is it in your ecclesiastical machinery? No. Is it in your creedal system? No, it's not merely that. What is it then?" We are happy and we are inspired because we love the brother, and that is what it is. We've got to recapture that. I don't want to sound provincial and say that all of the problems are just the so-called white church.
Well,
the Negro church has often left men and women disappointed at midnight. We have two types of Negro churches that leave men disappointed at midnight. One freezes up and the other one burns up. one that freezes up is that church, you know, that says it's a dignified church. And the preacher preaches a nice little essay on Sunday. And he's really afraid to get in his sermon and say it like he really means it and believes it. And then the choir is afraid to sing with meaning and power, and they don't sing Negro spirituals and gospel songs because that reminds them of their heritage. So they're, you know, they're busy trying to see they're ashamed that they're black. And they're ashamed that their ancestral home was Africa. And so they major on trying to build a church that has no relationship whatsoever with our past. And then, of course, they boast about their members. They go on to tell you, if you go there, we have so many doctors. We have so many lawyers. And we have so many school teachers. And we have so many businessmen. And, of course, it's good for all of these people to be in church. All professional people to go to church. But, you see, they say it as if the other people don't count. Well, the people who didn't get to be a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, they talk like the other people don't count. Not as another church that burns up. Now, in this church, the emphasis is on muscularity rather than spirituality. And in this kind of church, people have more religion in their hands and feet than they have in their hearts and souls. In this church, sometimes even the pastor doesn't prepare his son to preach. He just depends on his voice, on volume, not content. And the people leave on Sunday and say, you know, we had a great service today, and the preacher just preached this morning. And somebody said, what did he say? I don't know what he said, but he preached this morning. Now the danger of this kind of church is the people will play with God. The danger of this kind of church is that people make religion irrelevant. It becomes merely emotionalism. Now, religion, when it is real, is emotional, as well as intellectually meaningful and respectable. But it is emotional. But the danger of this kind of religion is that the pastor and the members will have what Paul called a zeal of God, not according to knowledge. When I quoted that passage earlier, said not only love the Lord thy God with all our heart, but it said with all our mind. The other danger of this kind of church is that everybody involved will become so caught up in the irrelevant that they will not be concerned about day-to-day stuff. It seems that I can hear the God of the universe saying, don't play with me and don't play with my people. It seems that I can hear the God of the universe speaking to the Negro church and the white church also, saying, our people are hungry. They're in need of bread. Don't play with me and don't play with them. They come at midnight seeking bread provided for them. Don't do that. I won't hear your beautiful answer. You can preach your eloquent sermon. You can pray your powerful prayers, but I won't hear any of it. Because your hands are full of blood. The thing that I'm concerned about is that you will let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. If you want to know what it is that I require of you, it's simply this. Do justice, not mercy, and walk humbly with my God. We must never leave men and women disappointed at midnight. Come on with me a little further, and I'm about to close out, but there are one or two other things I want to say. The interesting thing is that after that man knocked on that door, the man on the inside didn't open the door. The man on the outside kept knocking. The passage uses a big word, importunity. Importunity means persistence. Perseverance. It means, you know, to keep on keeping on.
Yeah.
It means staying with it. It says that man just kept knocking. Now, if you would allow me to use my imagination a minute, I'll tell you why he kept knocking.
Yeah.
He realized that some bread in that house. You see, if he had thought for 1 minute that there wasn't any bread in that house, he would have gone on to the next house. He wouldn't have been wasting his time around after he had been disappointed if he had thought there was no bread there. Deep down within, that man knew that there was some bread in that house. So this is what we must hear today in the church. This is what I want to leave with the men here this morning and all of the members. Mount Zion, you have the bread of life. Keep the bread fresh. Don't let it get stale because somebody is coming by here to try to find a little bread. Some young man disillusioned about life is going to come by here one day. Try to get the bread of faith and the bread of hope. Keep it fresh.
That was Dr. King talking about a strange knock at midnight. God bless you. This is a Bible class tonight. I wanted to talk about a strange knock at midnight. But I want to say we are soldiers in the army of God. And being soldiers in the army, you got your uniform on. And you can't take it off. So what Dr. King said tonight, it moved me to the point, happy birthday to everybody going into June and July. I want to say to you, that sermon brought me into, we must go back to, and I was talking to Brother Dale today, we must go back to poor people campaign. We must campaign for poor people, black, brown, whatever. We got the campaign because the rich getting richer and the poor getting poor, and the killings and the murder, you know, the people that were in San Antonio in the trail, it was poor people trying to seek a better life. And I want to say to you, don't forget to become involved with your prayers, with your money and with your spirit. I'm going to have Mary to read the 23rd number Psalm. I want to talk about we're soldiers in the army of God. Now, you might think you're high, but I'm reaching out for Poor People Campaign. Dr. King started Poor People Campaign. And come to find out now, the killing, the murder, the mental part of our mind, our kids are shooting and killing, murder all over. We got to go back to the Poor People Campaign. We got to start from group one to go to two. So David said, The Lord is my shepherd that I shall not want. And you might say, Bishop, what I want? I want a life of truth and love. We're caught up at midnight and the blood of our ancestors and the blood of young children. What happened in Sandy Hook? What happened in Buffalo, New York? What happened right in Washington, D.C.? What happened down in Texas? And what happened in San Antonio, Texas? And the governor talking about somebody cause of evil and people would not help poor people. So we're beginning the poor people campaign. Join in. We're going to talk the philosophy of poor people campaign. We're voting. We're doing all that. We got to go back to the basics. And those politicians start tweaking. And that word tweaking, they're tweaking. You know what that is. But they ain't doing nothing but tweaking. Act like they doing something. We got to go back to change that around. Mary Hawkins from Detroit with the 23rd number. So you can read that, Mary, if you got it. And as you read that, I want you to get your pencil and paper. Mary, you got the 23rd number of Psalms. And as you read the 23rd number of Psalms, I want you to get ready for a breakthrough in your life where a door will open up for you. And it'll open up quick, fast, and in a hurry. And as you get ready to read, Mary, you got the 23rd number of Psalms?
Yes.
Come on. And as she get ready to, okay, read that for us.
Okay. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But by our renewed thy rod, and thy staff, they comfort me. I prepare their table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup me over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You for that.
Now, I want to say this to you tonight. This is Bible study. We studied about the Word of God. We studied about us. I want to say happy birthday to all of them who got birthdays. We've been ready to go into another month of July. And they're talking about the 4th of July and all that people trying everywhere else. Stay safe. But I want each person tonight involved in Poor People Campaign. It came to me that we have to set up the Poor People Campaign because you got a poor Indian, poor white, poor black, poor. So the rich is getting richer and the poor is getting poor. But I want to say to you tonight, we are soldiers in the army of God. Now, some of you need to call me. You say, Bishop, I need to plant a seed for what you're trying to do. Now, I want to tell you, you can go to YouTube, you can go to Blog Talk Radio and go down and hit PayPal, and then you can go to another level where you can say, I want to say tonight before we finish, and I want you to be involved in the Poor People Campaign. It's something Dr. King started, and they let it die. But I want to wake it back up and get people across the country to get involved in the Poor People Campaign. Because we got more poor people than we got rich people. We got more people that are mentally ill. And what happened, it seemed like the major corporations have just thrown poor people down and everything that's going on now, the children, ain't nobody really speaking about our poor people being killed and hurt. So we got to get into that. And you need to say, well, Bishop, I'm going to cash out something to you. I'm going to do what needs to be done. But I want you to call me tonight, Pearl, and call me tonight, Mary. Johnny, call me tonight. I want to tell you something that's going to be a blessing and the Holy Ghost upon you. This is one of the services I did.
I'm a soldier, the army of the Lord, and being a soldier, you change. I want to remember you six times. Victory, Psalm 19. I want you to listen for the meat.
There's a little song that we sing in our movement down in the South. I don't know if you've heard it, but it has become the theme song. We shall overcome.
I'm
I He breaks every fetter. That's why I don't care how long it takes. I don't mind waiting. Now, I don't think you heard what I say. I don't care how long it takes. If it takes him 20 years, because the Bible said if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So guess what? I'm not just waiting on God. I'm waiting in God. Because I know he holds my destiny. And the Bible said he knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come out. Somebody just start shouting in your nose that he's making a way for you to come out. I don't mind waiting on the Lord. Early one morning in 5 a.m. prayer, I had finished the prayer on Tuesday morning, and I had raised the sacrificial offering, and the presence of the Lord sealed the room.
Imaginación. Eso es.
Peace of mind.
Thanks, that's free, Pam.
Warning. Objects on screen even.
Cyclists and pedestrians.
Stood on the bank of Jordan one day. There's a sweet spirit in this place. And I know that it's the spirit of love. On each face, and I know that you feel the presence of the Lord.
Stay right here with us, Lord. if there are some people who feel like I do, that when I think about what the Lord has done for me just in this week alone, when I think about the God that was there for me on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday, the God that was with me on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, that when I get up on Sunday morning and put my clothes on, I come with the intention to give the Lord the greatest praise that I have. It's nice to see you. I'm glad that you're here too. But when I walk in the door, I come to give God praise on Sunday morning. Anybody feel like me? Come on, let's position this sound. Praise.
Yeah.
We come to praise him. That's why I'm here today. Somebody call his name. Bless his name.
Worthy
you are. Yes, he is. Can we say it one
more
time? Oh, yeah, I come to him. I got it on my mind still. For all of the good things he's done. Somebody call his name. Blessed Savior. Anybody
worship?
Yeah. Come on, come on, let's get it up. Thank you. time I say his name.
Jesus.
Something has to happen with the call.
Jesus.
Something has to